We are going to be in Matthew chapter 7, so you can look there in your Bible. If you don't have one, one will be brought to you, Matthew chapter 7. But before we start in that passage, I would like to read Ephesians 4, so you can look for Ephesians 4:15 also. Here are some Bibles if you need one, because it's a passage that needs to be seen in a biblical New Testament salvation church body context. We can't just look at it all by itself. It preaches all by itself. But I want to put it in a context. Matthew 7. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 say, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let's pray. Father, as we look at Matthew 7 and this warning from you that the world usually sees as a condemnation, help us to realize that, first of all, Satan wants to use us to destroy the building up of the body in love. Satan wants to use us to destroy the body growing up into Jesus, our head. And then help us to realize how critically, vitally important each one of us is to the contributing of the building up of the body in love. Open our eyes to the beautiful implication, even though it comes in the negative, that we find in Matthew chapter 7. For we pray in your name, Jesus, as head of the body, the source of the love that we are to reflect to one another. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. This is one of the most misused and misquoted passages, paraphrase, in the Bible. How many of you have heard it said, Jesus said, "Do not judge"? How many of you have heard that? It's being used all over the place. Well, Jesus said, "You should not judge, you should not judge." Well, that's not what Jesus said. Sorry about that. Because this passage turns on two key words. One is hina. The other one is hypocrite. Hina is a conjunction that shows a purpose. So that. And hypocrite is a person that is playing games, a stage actor. Somebody that wears a mask, if you will. And the mask is one thing, but deep down inside, it's another. So think of a hypocrite, says one of the dictionaries, as a person who pretends to be a certain way but really acts and believes the total opposite. Hypocrites usually talk a big talk but fail to follow their own rules, like an outspoken vegetarian who secretly eats bacon. See, hina, that little conjunction, is what makes what could be a harsh negative statement by Jesus a warning for our good and for the good of the body. See, Jesus is fighting Satan in one of his most insidious ways of destroying the body. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is cancer to a body. Many people have rejected Jesus in the church, not because they reject Jesus in the church, but because they reject the hypocrites that they point to. And if that's a Christian, and if he goes to your church or she goes, I don't want anything to do with your Jesus, with your this, with your that. And people are rejecting the gospel, they're rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting church because of hypocrisy. We sing and pray one way. I think of James. James is talking about the tongue. And he says, with the tongue you sing and praise God, and then you curse your brothers. How can that be? See, that's hypocrisy. A tongue that praises Jesus. This morning we are praising Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we go out and when we get mad, when we get angry, we curse others. We dehumanize. Have you thought that curses, and I've said this before, curses are dehumanization. You know, we're against abortion because a baby is made in the image and likeness of God. But when we get mad, we call somebody filthy names. You are excrement. You're the rear end of a horse. You're the child of a dog. See, that's hypocrisy. To say we're against abortion because these people are made in the image and likeness of God, and Satan gets us angry and we start calling them filth, dirt, animals. That's hypocrisy. He says, how can praises and curses come from the same mouth? You know, we want evangelism so that nobody goes to hell. And then when we get mad, we tell somebody what? Go to hell. That's hypocrisy. You can't be here praying, God, help me to preach the gospel so people don't go to hell. And then when Satan gets you angry, you tell somebody, well, you just go to hell. That's hypocrisy. We need to be consistent. And that's what this passage is about. Consistency. Consistency. So let's look at what Jesus said. Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Judge not, and here's that conjunction, hina, so that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. See, Jesus did not say, do not judge, period, end of statement. I have given you a commandment. Do not judge. No, 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 no. Listen carefully. There's a comma. Do not judge, comma, so that you will not be judged. That's a warning. That's for our good. How many of you have told a kid, don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to get hurt. Don't do it. See, that's what this is. Don't do it. You're going to get hurt. He doesn't say don't judge. We're going to see in a moment that he says we can judge once we're no longer hypocrites. But if your heart is not clean and you judge as a hypocrite, you're going to have God's judgment come upon you as well. See, this passage is saying that every time that we judge someone, every time we judge someone, we leave ourselves open to be judged as well. See, hypocrisy is able to say, oh, this is me, I'm over here, that's you. That's hypocrisy. The body of Christ is one body made of many members. And this passage is saying when you judge, you are leaving yourself wide open to be judged as well. Do you realize that? These are the words of Jesus. I'm not making it up. It's a warning. Don't do it. You're going to get hurt. Watch how you judge, because you're going to get judged too. Amazing. And then verse 2, it English smooths it out. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. But in the Greek, it sounds clearer, if you will. Because in the Greek is, don't judge, me krineti, hina me kritheiste. That's Greek with a Spanish accent. That's how Jesus spoke it. There's only a couple of words there. Don't judge because not judged you. Judge. You keep the, it pounds better in the Greek. And then it says, for by the judgment you judge by, you will be judged. You know, in English we say, for the judgment you pronounce will be judged. No. For the judgment that you are judging by, you will be judged. And for the measure that you measure by, you will be measured. See, this is a warning. You know, our kids may not like it when we look at them and say, don't do it, you're going to get hurt, boy. That's a warning. That's for your good. And Jesus says, be careful. When you start to judge, remember that when you judge, the standard that you judge by is how you are going to be judged. And the measure that you're using to measure someone else is the same measure that is going to be used to measure you. That's a warning. It doesn't say don't judge. Just says be careful, be discerning. Jesus is saying that the moment we judge, we leave ourselves open to be judged by God. We're going to be judged by God and His holy standard. You're my child. Jesus died and shed His blood for you. You are to live by my standard, that awesome statement in Peter, be ye holy as I am holy. When we judge hypocritically, God looks at us and says, man, you're not living holy as I am holy. So He judges us by His standard, number one. And then it says, God is going to judge us by the standard that we use to judge others. That's scary. Because I know I've judged people by a standard. I'm sure glad God doesn't use against me. But this passage says, yes, He does. I don't know how that works. But it's a truth of God. That somewhere in God's plan and God's way of working, we are going to be feeling the repercussions of what we do. It's called responsibility. There isn't an action without repercussions. How, when God puts that all together, I don't know. And be careful, don't start judging people. Oh, you're getting punished by God. That's not the point here. We just need to realize that in God's big picture, there's God who says, okay, you want to use this standard? I will use it against you as well. Because I don't want you to be a hypocrite. It's not to punish us. It's not to hurt us. It's so that we won't be a hypocrite, because hypocrites hurt the body. And hypocrites don't work with the body so that the body works together for the building of self up in love into the head, Jesus. So the harshness in this passage is the harshness of keeping us aware of what Satan can do through us to damage God's plan for His church, for His body. Because all of us are building each other up one way or another, contributing so that we will be like Jesus. Your role in this church, my role in this church, according to Ephesians 2, is that every one of us is a joint, is a muscle, is a tissue, is a sinew, is something that belongs to the body and brings the body together to build itself up in love into Jesus Christ, our head. And hypocrisy takes our eyes off of Jesus and puts it on us as the judge who plays Jesus, if you will, against other people. So yes, there's a harshness here, but it's not a harshness when I say, don't do it, boy, because you're going to get hurt. I don't want him to get hurt. I'm not putting him down. I don't want to ball him out, per se. I'm just saying, don't get hurt. Don't do it. And then we're judged by God in his holy standard. And we're judged by God in keeping with the same standard we are using. You know, there's an interesting passage in Corinthians. And I've told you about my Oreo cookie view of Corinthians 11. The top cookie is verse 16, 17, where Paul says, and in giving you this command, I cannot praise you because there are divisions among you. Divisions among you. And technically, they were judging each other, and primarily over their status. There were people coming to the Lord's table celebration, and some of them were fighting for the head of the table, and some of them were saying, you belong at the foot of the table, and others were saying, you don't belong at the table at all. There were divisions in the body. That's the top cookie. The little goody-goody stuff and the white, sweet, good stuff is the passage that we always talk about it, communion. You know, this is what the Lord delivered unto me, that Jesus died. We remember his body. We remember his blood that saved us and cleansed us. And then it ends with the little bottom cookie. Therefore, stop your divisions. If you want to be cocky, do it at home. But when you come here, don't divide the body. And he doesn't want us to be cocky either, if you will. But if you want to be a show-off, don't be a show-off that I belong at the head of the table, you belong somewhere else, and you don't even belong at the table. See, the Lord's Supper is the great equalizer. When we come to the table, it's a round table. And Jesus is sitting at the same round table. He's the head. And the rest of us sit at the round table. When we come to the communion, we are coming to a time when we all realize that we are miserable sinners going to hell. And we would be going to hell if it weren't for Jesus. And we have no room for hypocrisy. When we come to this table, there is nobody who is above, better, below, sideways. My church is better. My theology is better. My pastor is better. Well, maybe we do. But anyway, that's when we come to that table, it's the great equalizer. There is no one who can come hypocritically. We sit here, and if we say, how did that person go there? I don't think they should have gone there. They don't agree with my theology. I don't think they should be there. Why are they doing there? I heard what they did last week. Why is she coming? Why is he coming? How are they? That's what this is all about. We start to judge. And we start to judge. We lose the essence of the meaning of the Lord's table. And that we all sit at the Lord's table by the grace of God and the grace of God, and nothing about us makes us worthy of sitting anywhere better at the table than someone else, or hypocritically saying that that person doesn't belong, because we're a motley group. I love saying, when I was preaching all the time, I would say it all the time. Jesus prayed all night and he picked up the most motley group of disciples. What a weird group. And I think he did that because his church was going to be motley and weird. And if you don't believe that, you're here and I'm here. And we come to the Lord's table because the Lord's table tells us that motley, weird, whatever we've done during the week, there's a Savior who saved us. And there's the hope, confession, restoration, rebuilding, and continuing, all of us putting our arms together and building each other up in love. Not to be like us, but unto our head, Jesus Christ. I want to look like Jesus, and I want you to look like Jesus. If you believe like I do, that would be wonderful. No. But see, we do that. We do that. If you believe like I do, then you'll be better. And we start to preach that we're saved by grace, and then we add all kinds of layers. And that's hypocrisy. Your goodness and your righteousness, my goodness and righteousness, is the righteousness that God put upon us, the righteousness of Jesus. And we all have ups and downs, failures, what have you, but we are born again, children of God by Jesus, righteous by Him alone. We go to the table with the righteousness of Jesus, and we together work with one another. And if we see, as we'll see in a moment, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we work together to build each other up for love. See, this is why Jesus sounds so harsh, but it's a warning for us before God, before others, and it's a warning for all of us as a church body. Judge not, lest you be judged. Judge not, lest you be judged. With the judgment you judge by, you will be judged. And with the measure you measure by, you will be measured. And then verses 3 and 4. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? That's Matthew 7, 3, 4. See, this is where we really show our hypocrisy. Number one, when we look at others and we say, oh, they're different than me. And then we look at others and say, oh, they're not as good as me. And pretty soon, the more we do that, the more blinded we are, because we don't see the huge log that God sees in our eye as we're looking at others and being judgmental about them. And remember, when you look at others and say, that's their problem, God says, okay, what measure do you determine that by? What standard did you determine that by? Because that's the one I'm going to use on you now. Okay? So let's be fair about it, if we can use the word fair. Don't be a hypocrite and say, well, that's for them and them, but not for me. See, Jesus died for us, the church. We are His body because He died. He went through everything that we talk about, Easter, death and resurrection. Pastor Jeff is preaching just before Jesus goes to the cross in John. All of that was done so that you and I could be His body, the church. And every one of us has a part to contribute. We're part of the body. And we are part of the body to keep us together and build each other up in love into Jesus, our head, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, in this passage, Jesus makes a remarkable assumption. Why do you see the speck in your eye? You know, he didn't say, some of you are doing that. Good for you. But the rest of you, why are you doing it? This morning in our Sunday school class, we're starting the new class with Anthony. And we talked about our nature is to be sinners. And Jesus starts with our nature. He knows that every one of us does it. Okay? As Pastor Jeff said, tell the person beside you, I do it too. I mean, you know, every one of us judges. And Jesus started with that assumption. He's not giving any one of us a King's X. There's no little asterisk in the bottom that says, well, the rest of you, but not Ed, because Ed doesn't do that. Ed is right in there with this passage. Why do you look at the speck in the eye of another and don't even notice the log in your own eye? Wow. A lot of marriages would be healed if husbands and wife heeded this passage. Because so often they can list the list of wrongs of the other and not see the list of how they are contributing to the problem. And it's happening in our churches. It's happening in society. Man, everybody, it seems these days, is just looking at other people and finding something wrong. Seems like nobody can say anything in public without somebody jumping on it in social media and saying, did you hear what they said? We're gearing up as a society. And I think this is Satan's doing. He knows that Jesus is coming back and he wants to mess us up as much as possible as a society and as a church before Jesus returns. And he's got us as people who are constantly looking at specks in other people's eyes, in the words of Jesus, without even seeing the log in our eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when the log is in your eye? See, Jesus is highlighting the biasness of blind judgment. The biasness of blind judgment. When you have a log in your eye, you're not going to be seeing well to take a speck out of somebody else's eye. My optometrist sent me to my ophthalmologist the other day. I have an appointment coming up, and I'm going to probably have to have cataract removal. Because right now, there's this yellow mass, the old lens, that is biasing my sight. Number one, I don't see white like it should be. It's all yellow. And I can't focus on it. And if you were to come up to me and say, hey, Ed, I got a speck in my eye. Could you take it out? And I go like this and say, what eye? But see, that's honesty. But hypocrisy says, sure, let me do it. And then I dig a hole in your eye trying to get the speck because I can't see it because the log in my eye. See, do you want me to use my left eye to take a speck out of your eye right now? Would you like to have me do it once I have the cataract change? Oh, you bet. I'll see very well through this eye, thank you very much, just like I do here, and I had it done several years ago. See, we take our eyes off of Jesus, we put him on ourselves and start playing the Holy Spirit. And we start to condemn others and judge others. And Jesus says, don't do it. And then he uses that harsh word, you hypocrite, you hypocrite. How many of you are old enough to remember the Family Circus little cartoon? It's usually one panel. And remember the little ghost called Not Me? See, so many of us Christians are like that little ghost. Not me. Not me. Jesus says, you hypocrite, take the log out of your eye. Not me. Not me. I don't have a log. But boy, do they have a whole bunch of specks. See, we're the not me generation now. Nobody takes blame for anything. Not me, not me. I'm not a hypocrite. But boy, let me tell you, Jesus, when I hear all the specks, I can tell you about him. Not me. See, Jesus did not say that we should never judge, period. When somebody says, Jesus said, do not judge, stop him. And say, wait, finish the sentence. You should not judge, Hina, so that you won't be judged. How? By the same standard you use, by the same measure you use. And you're a hypocrite if you have a log in your eye so big that you can't see it. I mean, you don't see the big log in your eye, but through that eye, you are seeing other people's specks. That's a biased blindness, judgment. Jesus said that we should not judge hypocritically. Jesus said that we should not judge others while blinded by the log in our eye. And Jesus said, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Come to me sometime, my next appointment is December. That's the first one I could get. And if he says yes, it'll probably be, no, I don't need a white cane yet. That's a joke. I can still see enough. But thank you, Mark. But after December, and he says, yes, you have to have it done. And after he changes that cataract, feel free to come up to me and, Pastor Ed, I've got a splinter. I've got a speck in my eye. Would you use your clean eye, your new eye, your unlogged eye to find it and help me take it out? See, that's what the church should be. Where you and I come to one another and say, hey, I've got a speck in my eye. I've got a splinter. Would you help me take it out? But hypocrisy says, ooh, you got a splinter. I don't. Oh, what's wrong with you? You got a splinter. And how many people are going to come to you if you do that? See, that's what he's talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. So the next question is, how do we take the log out of our eye? Because this would be only half a message if I only gave you this. Let's look at how to take the log out of our eye. If you're taking notes, I'll give you some references. We just, time-wise, you can look them up and follow me too. But let me just give you three verses. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. See if you see a theme in these verses. Proverbs 10, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. James 5:19-20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Did you hear a theme there? Covers a multitude of sins. You see, those of us who are obsessive compulsive don't like that. Every sin has to be dealt with, and now. And those of us who are CDOs, it's even worse. You know what CDO is? It's the same as OCD, but the letters are now in alphabetical order. See, and this is the hypocrisy. Please, and I'm talking to myself. The hypocrisy is that we are so grateful that God's love covers a multitude of our sins, that we can't stand it when the love of God covers someone else's sins. We just sang the hymn, the chorus, our high priest who intercedes for us. 1 John 2:1-2. For we have a high priest who intercedes for us. And this passage makes you and me ask ourselves, do we believe that Jesus intercedes for others also? Do we really believe that Jesus intercedes for others also? And when I sin and Jesus says, Father, give him a break. Give him a break. Cover it up in my blood. And I say, thank you, Jesus. And then somebody else comes and says the same thing. And we say, hey, Jesus. No, 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 no. You can't cover his sins. Let's expose them. Let's deal with them right now. Notice that the word stays sins. It's not that love makes sins not sins. Please understand that. And Romans says, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? The point is, don't abuse the grace of God. But see, we are a body. And every one of us blows it. And every one of us needs God to give us a break. If I may use a modern term. And 1 John 2, 1 and 2 say that Jesus is asking God to give us a break. I died for that. Yes, it's a sin. And yes, I put him in my body so that other people would come beside him, beside her, and lovingly, not judgmentally, and certainly not hypocritically judgmentally, and you have a problem, but I don't, so let me help you with your problem. See, when we come to the Lord's table, we're saying we all have problems. And we all belong to the body. And when part of the body sees that another part of the body has a problem, it comes and it, in love, covers a multitude of sins. That means that we don't jump on everything. That we accept the same grace and mercy and love and break that Jesus begs the Father for on our behalf as our high priest, as others deserve and want and have the same grace and mercy and break that God gives us. See, that's the essence of hypocrisy. If we, the body, are seeing ourselves as different. And we have a log that we don't see, but we judge others through a biased eye. The body isn't going to come together. I mean, how many of you wanted to get a spanking? How many of you want to go to somebody who's going to bawl you out? Prayer would be impossible if we went to a God who we knew was going to scream at us. God, I sinned. You know, we stop praying. We go to God the Father because we know he's going to understand. He'll give us a break. He's not going to turn the sin into not sin, but he's going to put us in a context where the sin can be worked on so that we can all grow together into Jesus. How do we do that? We look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. It's long-suffering. Another translation is love has a long fuse. Have you seen some of those funny videos on YouTube? The one I'm thinking of right now, a guy lit a stick of dynamite because he wanted to go ice fishing. And he lit the stick of dynamite and threw it out into the ice to blow a hole in the ice. And his dog ran, picked it up, and brought it back and put it by his truck. Kabooey! Love has a long fuse. And see, I meet people who say, well, that's just how I am. Yes, your sinful nature is that. And Paul says, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, the fruit of the Spirit is a love with a long fuse. And if your fuse is short, then that's your speck or your log that we, the family, need to help you work on. If you just blow up, you need help. But not from people who just simply say, stop blowing up. Yeah, that helps. I've got a migraine. Stop having a migraine. We need people to help us to get a longer fuse. Because love is patient. I hope all of you would raise your hand and say, boy, am I glad that God has a long fuse. Man, if he jumped on us the same way we jump on others sometimes, we'd be cringing at the word God. Love is patient. It is kind. It is kind. Dr. Barry Corey, we went to Mount Hermon for a week with family camp, and he was a speaker. He wrote a book on rediscovering kindness, the lost fruit of the Spirit. And he defines kindness as a strong center and gentle edges. Because we want people to come to us and meet our strong center in order to change, to grow. But some people have a strong center and hard edges. And people want to come to get help, but they bounce off the edges. I'm assuming that right now you could think of people that you want to go and talk to, and you know you'll be talked to, and people you don't want to go to because you know all you're going to get is somebody's going to blow up. See, it's a strong center. We have something to offer, but we have soft edges, so that people can come to us and learn from our strong center. Love does not envy. It's not jealous. Oh, jealousy and hypocrisy go hand in hand. God, I'm better than that person. Why did you give that person that and you didn't give me that? Woo. And God says, you want to sit down? Because I've got to tell you. Love does not boast. It's not arrogant. Hypocrisy usually is accompanied by boasting. I'm better than you are is the ultimate boast. And I'll show you and I'll tell you and I'll help you and I'll fix you. And usually by fix you, we mean fix you to be like me, not Jesus. Love is not rude. Another modern word is love is not obnoxious. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. The verb means to stir to anger. In the passive form, it means it does not let itself get provoked. The implication of the passive is that we have control over whether we're going to be provoked or not. See, that's how a bully works in school. They look for the ones that they provoke and they get a response. And then they start picking and picking and picking and picking. And the Bible says we have control over whether we're going to allow ourselves to be provoked or not. Love is not resentful. That's the word logizomai. Love does not keep a logbook of wrongs. Oh man, that hits home. Because we keep a wrong list of wrongs. See, if we judge people, we keep a list of what's wrong with them. Especially if they've done it to us. Fawcett and Brown quote somebody named Estius. I looked him up in Google and couldn't find him, but the quote is good. Love makes allowances for the falls of others. Love makes allowances for the falls of others and is ready to put on them a charitable construction. Love makes allowances for the falls of others and is willing to put on them a charitable or a loving construction. Love covers a multitude of sins. Come, let's work together. I'm not going to jump on you. I'm not going to hypocritically criticize you. Come, come. Love, so far from devising evil against another, excuses the evil which another inflicts on her or him. See, it's still evil. But if we not want to help the person stop being evil, we've got to help them. But if all we do is yell at them, they'll never come for help. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. Let me ask you bluntly, when was the last time, maybe even today, that you just, now that you realize what I'm saying, you realize God really gave you a break? God gave you a break. He could have zapped you. And he gave you a break. Therefore, if our God is willing to give me a break, why am I not willing to give another person a break, number one? And why do I criticize God when God gives that person a break? See, that's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. When I will rejoice in what God does for me, but God, don't you dare do it to others. Thank you for forgiving me and giving me a break. But man, did you see what he did, what she did? Zap him. Like John and James. Rain fire from heaven on him. So let me go back to Ephesians. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ. He's our role model. He's our role model. He's the only one that we together work with one another to build ourselves into. The head, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So there were 2 points to my message this morning. Number one, Jesus assumes that we all have to fight hypocrisy. He just assumes it. He knows our human sinful nature. He knows that we all have some form of log in our eye that blinds us from truly judging others. So he warns us, watch how you judge, because it'll come back. That's not karma. This is Jesus speaking. God in his plan has ways to deal with us, not to punish us, but boy, will he make us realize, wow, do I need to grow? Do I need to grow? And number two, each and every one of us here, you and I, have a vital, essential, integral role as something of the body to bring the body together in love, to cover, to give people a break so they don't leave or walk away hurt and insulted, but that they want to come in through our soft edges to meet our strong center, Jesus, that allows us to work together, to work on the logs and the specks, so that the world can't point at them and reject our head, Jesus Christ. Hypocrisy is a cancer. God's love is a cure to that cancer. We need each other. Oh, do we need each other? Jesus, you went to the cross and died on the cross to be able to call us children of God, to be able to call us your body, of which you are the head. Help us this morning to recognize how important each of us are in taking care of ourselves so that we can in turn take care of one another, so that the body can grow in love, 1 Corinthians love, to become more and more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.